tweet at TodaySOR.
Something now that will be certainly of interest to Shane Bergen's students. It's how they should feed themselves, especially when they're living away from home. Restaurateur JP McMahon is with me in studio. First of all, JP, have students got any better at cooking over the years?
I'd like to think they have, but I don't think they have. I mean, 20 years ago, when when I was 20 and I met my friends who couldn't cook, because I did home economics, I was lucky to do that, and they lived on toast and beans and pizzas and that. And then 20 years later, I met some students and they still have the same diet. So I'm sure some have gone on to be able to make themselves a lasagna or something, but...
And you can go into a supermarket and you get bacon and cabbage and a lump of smash or mash, yeah. I say, for a fiver. So why would you bother learning to cook?
And that's one of the difficulties, is that I suppose the cost of food and our surplus income has gone up, that you can question, like, I suppose, why spend time cooking food, or why do we need to, have people to cook food? If you look at, I suppose, the likes of Google, Facebook and LinkedIn, they have such great food programs that their staff never have to cook. And they could spend the next 40 years being cooked for.
But you believe there is an intrinsic value in being able to look after yourself.
Absolutely. I think it's about, like, food sovereignty, and like it's about your own, I suppose, being able to have your own identity through food. And I think there's the pleasure of it, and there's also the communality. But I think getting our students, whether it's at primary or secondary level, to have a small repertoire of dishes, like 10 or 15 dishes. And I'm not talking like Michelin star meals, right? I'm just talking like spaghetti bolognese or stuff like that, that I think that would be good for, and it's also good for your health as well.
A lot of people would say, look, I wouldn't even know how to cook pasta.
No, and I met someone who will remain unnamed that I had to explain to cook pasta. I think he was 17 or 18. But it's very difficult to describe how to cook pasta when you say you put it in the pot, and they were like, and then what happens? And I was like, well, then it gets softer. And there's like, and then what happens? And I was like, and then you drain it. And where, what do you do with the water? I said, that go down the sink. And it was like, it's almost like talking science. It's like, there's only so much words you have around food where you just, there's a basic assumption.
You basically say, if you can boil a kettle, you can cook pasta.
Absolutely. Or to grill a burger and they were like, God, I don't know. Like, how will you know when it's ready? And I was like, well, I suppose you'll know. But these are things that we take for granted. And because we don't really have a food subject in primary school, we have home economics. It would be great if that was maybe mandatory for junior cycle. A bit like history. I mean, we have an argument about history ongoing about the necessity of it, but food is just as important.
But do you take any encouragement, or is there any encouragement to be taken from students? Students, are they more health conscious now?
No, absolutely, and there is a kind of push and pull thing where you have like social media and Instagram and beautiful food being photographed and healthy food being photographed, and people being very, very conscious. And I suppose there's a difference between us eating better and eating out more because we have more income and we have a better food culture, and then going home and not being able to cook. As you said, like if you can get a whole meal for €5, like it's very, in the short term, it's very difficult to tackle that, because if you gave someone €5, would they be able to make that? But in the long term, if you're doing the shopping for the week or for 2 weeks, then that's when the savings can be made.
Because there is a kind of an idea out there, I suspect, that healthy food and healthy ingredients are maybe more expensive.
No, and to a certain degree, I think if you went to the supermarket today, vegetables could possibly be more expensive. I mean, with the beef crisis at the moment, I don't know if that's the case, but I was a vegetarian for 7 years, and it was more expensive to buy 4 or 5 vegetables for a vegetable stew than it is to buy a pound of mince. And that's a difficulty, because I suppose we don't grow a massive amount of vegetables in the country, and they're all imported.
What stopped you being a veggie?
I forgot why I was a vegetarian. I read an article somewhere in the Sunday Times or something, and it was about this woman had written, this is like 10 or 15 years ago, and she said, I'm in my 30s and I can't remember why I'm vegetarian. And I said, do you know what, I can't remember either.
So what did you go back on the chicken and the beef and the whole lot?
I went back
the
on the foie gras and the everything, and like I suppose I'm a conscientious meat eater now, but I don't like to, I still love vegetables and...
You mentioned, you know, in an ideal world, students would have 10 or 12 basic dishes,
yeah.
Not Michelin stars. So what would they be?
It's like, for breakfast, like scrambled eggs. And you could say, like, being able to cook rashers and sausages. I mean, people would say, oh, shit, everyone knows how to do that. But if you gave someone a frying pan, other dishes like pancakes, I mean, that's stuff we all grew up with. And I think they're pancakes with honey and butter. That's a nice breakfast.
Pancakes, you basically, you need flour and you need
flour, egg, and milk.
Okay,
and that's it. Or a little bit of butter if you want. And as you said, like there's 14,000 recipes on BBC Food, and you can just click in there and say, okay, what do I want to make for breakfast, or what have I got to make on a budget?
I see one of our listeners suggesting you can boil an egg in the kettle, so you can have a cup of tea and a boiled egg.
That's true. You could boil pasta in the kettle if you can get it into it, like.
Not sure I'd fancy the tea that you'd have.
Like certainly for dinner, I think spaghetti bolognese is very simple, like pasta pesto. They're all like, I mean, couscous is really, really simple with roasted vegetables. Couscous is par cooked. You just add the same volume of water. So 100 grams of couscous, you add 100 mils of water. And
that's there in a packet, water. But just like you'd be buying your pasta.
And you can take couscous, put in spices, dried spices, put in some sultanas, pour over your boiling water or boiling stock, equal parts, and then
you know,
it's ready.
I'm now regretting the fact that I looked at a packet of couscous in a supermarket yesterday and I said, nah.
It's par-cooked, because couscous, I think in its original form, couscous takes about 3 hours to cook. But couscous is, again, it's healthy, it's very, very cheap. You buy your vegetables, you roast them off in the oven, and then you add your water to your couscous, and then you probably have a meal for 2 days.
So at what stage do you, I mean, it's hardly as they're preparing to head for college or home for the midterm break that you should be starting with your kids. I mean, in an ideal world.
I think around 10. I mean, I have a 10, 11-year-old girl, and she's kind of getting into it now. I think the 7-year-old is still a little bit too early. I gave her a knife yesterday and she cut herself. I suppose you're not supposed to give knives to 7-year-olds, but anyway, she was doing the mushrooms and anyway, she didn't lose too much of her finger. But I think about 10 to 15, I think, yeah, is where we need to get the kids. And that's possibly where the junior cycle could lend itself.
Yeah, I see on the text, by the way, reverting back to my conversation with Shane, thanks to your scientist, this 45-year-old child now has Baraka all over the kitchen floor. But another one for you, home economics in my kids' secondary school consisted of brownies and chocolate biscuit style cooking every week. I asked the school to teach students to peel and cook potatoes, and they ignored me.
That's bizarre, because I have fond memories of making shepherd's pie and curry and all sorts of like things that you take for granted now. But like a chicken curry, to make your own chicken curry, you can make it really beautiful. I mean, you can fry off your chicken, put in your spices, a little bit of stock, a little bit of cream, boil your rice, put in some coriander, and that's it. And you could probably do that for €7 and feed 4 people.
Yeah, I should endorse what you said. We are not encouraging 7-year-olds to use knives.
Absolutely not. No, that's at my own pearl,
right.
But it is, I think we need to get, if parents are cooking, I think they need to get their kids in the kitchen helping them and peeling potatoes. I mean, the amount of people that I'd say most people have never peeled a potato in their life now, because they probably don't need to ever.
Yeah, again, a fine bowl of porridge with berries, apple and bananas will set you up for the day as a student, says Frank in Dublin. Another one, I have 3 sons and I've suggested they take home economics up to junior cert level so they'll have some life skills when they leave home. My oldest is enjoying the cooking but not the sewing. I think it's a great idea to make it compulsory up to junior cert.
Like I think so, and I think the fact that I was talking to transition year students who last Thursday who did home economics, and they still said that it's still like 90% girls, and I thought that had changed, because I thought like, oh, sure, guys are cooking and they're probably into it, because I remember there was only two of us in the class, and I did it because I had asthma and it was woodwork or home economics, and maybe that was one of those things that pushed me into the food world, you know.
And there are people in Dominic Street in Galway who are grateful for that ailment, but let's hope it doesn't trouble you to this day. JP, thank you so much.
No worries, thank you so much, man.
We're talking sport, and it's really all about the Dubs and a bit about Kerry and Galway women footballers after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.